Hello and welcome to the Art of Selling Online Courses. We are here to share winning strategies and secret hacks from top performers in the online course industry. My name is John Ainsworth and today's guest is Andrea Vahl. She's a social media consultant and speaker and is the co-author of Facebook Marketing All-in-One for Dummies, and her newest book is Facebook Ads Made Simple. Today, we're going to be talking about ads, obviously, how to set up a successful ads campaign, what kind of ads course owners should run at every stage of their marketing, how to plan out your Facebook ad strategies, your budget, and common mistakes that people make. Andrea, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks so much, John. It's an honor.
So let's get into it. When should people get started with ads? What's a way people can think that through?
Yeah, I think definitely people should get started with ads pretty early, because there are some learning things that come up around both how you're setting up your ads and the testing phase and everything like that, that both Facebook and you have to learn about what's working. So start early and start small. You don't have to start with a big budget, but just start kind of seeing how the conversions are going, making sure you're setting up the ads the right way. And oftentimes it takes people longer than they realize to get the ads working properly. So start way before you're launching to kind of give yourself a little runway.
And what do people need to have in place in terms of, we in particular here teach the Tripwire funnel as like a front-end funnel that people can have in place that you might drive traffic to. But that's like one model. There are others, obviously, as well. What do people need to have in place in terms of a funnel before they would start running ads?
Yeah, in terms of a funnel, Facebook definitely works really well at lead generation, building your list, things like that. Sales are a little more tricky, but you know, obviously, sales can happen for sure when we're, especially when we're talking about courses, because a lot of times people need a little bit more warm up in that earlier stage of the funnel. So for sure, one of the biggest mistakes people make is not getting the Facebook pixel installed correctly so that they are tracking through their funnel what's happening with their ads. So that's number one, is getting your landing page set up, getting your thank you page set up, getting that pixel installed on that landing page and thank you page with the standard event code correct on that thank you page so that you're actually tracking. And then also then tracking through to the purchase so that you're tracking all the way through the funnel and really understanding which ads are working for you.
Okay, so people should get set up with getting the pixel in place. Maybe even if they don't have a funnel they can drive traffic to make sales, still drive traffic to get people onto the email list.
Right.
Early,
right.
So they're kind of getting the hang of how it works. Is that right?
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, running some tests, seeing where you're landing in terms of cost per lead is really helpful so that you can really start tracking, hey, if we bump up this budget, if we increase this, is the math all going to work out so that my ads are profitable?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the reasons that we teach the Tripwire funnel is that it's a very, very simple place to get started. It's like one of the simplest front-end funnels that you can have. And so what we always do is we get people to drive traffic to a lead magnet they've already got to get people onto the email list. And then we have the Tripwire funnel behind that. So the sales, the confirmation page behind the, you sign up for the lead magnet, your confirmation yep. page is the sales page for the Tripwire. And right. so it's like it leads seamlessly in. And it means that even if the funnel doesn't convert, you still get leads.
Exactly.
You've already got something happening.
Exactly. Because, you know, there's nothing worse than spending all this money on ads and not having anything to show for it. That's why so many people say, oh, I tried it and ads don't work. So if you thought you were going to start with ads straight to the course sales page and, you know, things don't convert, then people just give up. And when, you know, if you have a little bit of warm up, you've got the lead magnet, you're able to then follow up with them through your email sequence. Maybe you don't sell that particular course to them. Maybe you sell another course that you've got, or maybe you make another offer and keep making offers to then make the sale down the road. Yeah. And, you know, I have people on my list that have been on my list for years, and they're like, I finally am able to buy your course, you know? So it's challenging when lead time is that long to actually make the sale. But the good thing is it's all a building process, right? So hopefully you're making some sales early, but then you're getting like the long tail on the back end.
Perfect. And if you're listening to this and you're not sure, if you haven't heard me talk about tripwire funnels before, just Google tripwire funnels. And our article about it comes up number one and number two normally. And it's very detailed, going to take you through what a tripwire funnel is, how that works. And that's going to give you a good kind of grounding in the principles are there.
Right. It's also a great way to, you know, a lot of times people have a low cost price point on that front end, like with a tripwire, whatever it might be. And now if you're doing that, you can often have your leads and your sales there for free, essentially, because you're making that low cost sale on the front end. You're spending the ad dollars, but now you've got like that self-liquidating offer at that point where people are, you know, you're breaking even on your ad spend, you're growing your list for free, and then hopefully able to make even more sales on the back end.
Absolutely. Okay. So how should someone go about setting up a successful ads campaign? What's the steps they need to work through?
Yeah. So your first step is to, of course, have your lead magnet be the number one thing that you're driving traffic to, and kind of outlining your budget there and kind of doing a little bit of calculations on where your ad spend or where your lead magnet price needs to be in order to then be profitable on your back end. So, you know, if you've got a $100 course and you convert at 5 or 10% from the leads to the sale, you know, just do a little bit of math and figure out, okay, if that's the case, what is my threshold for what my lead cost needs to be? And that can be a great place for you to aim, and then start designing your campaign around that and design what types of audiences you're going to test, what types of images, maybe a video you're going to test, and set about a strategic plan so that you're isolating those audiences and really making sure you're understanding which audience is converting the best, which ad images converting the best, because then what you're going to be able to do is scale up the budgets on those best performers and leave aside the ones that aren't performing as well. And that's one of the big mistakes people make, is they're not testing enough. Because I see this happen all the time where people say, oh, I tried two things and Facebook ads didn't work for me. Well, so many times I'm seeing lead costs like cut in half for one certain image or one certain audience. And so if you're not iterating and kind of planning out some things to test, you may give up too soon. So that's the big thing. And also just, again, making sure you really understand the Facebook pixel and what you're optimizing around and the way you're setting up the ads, because there are a number of little settings in the ads manager that will cause you to not spend your budget in the most effective way. So really kind of understanding that from the beginning can really help your profits on the back end.
Nice. And just to give you some numbers there, if you listen to this and you're like, okay, well, I don't know, am I going to get 5 or 10% or whatever of my email list buying? As a general rule, if you do email marketing really, really well consistently, you should be able to make sales to about 10% of your list in total. That's what we generally see with most of our clients. Occasionally it's higher, but that's normally like it's somewhere in that kind of 5 to 10% range. That's over a period of time. Your front end funnel, you should be able to convert somewhere between 3 to 10% of people immediately after they sign up. Now that's interesting, because it might seem like, well, if you can convert 10% of people straight away, surely you could be more later. Generally, it seems to work that people are most likely to make a purchase just as they're first signing up, and especially if you put an incredibly good offer right at that front end. So about 10% is a kind of a reasonable amount. But of course, you ideally want to be selling multiple things to a lot of those people. So 10% might buy, but 2% of them might buy everything that you've ever made, you know.
Right.
So you can start to do your calculations that way, depending on like how many courses you've got and what your price points are and that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. And usually, you know, as long as we're talking about percentages too, one of the things that's helpful to understand is conversion costs or conversion percentages on lead magnets. So usually what I see when you're running the ad optimized around the lead pixel or the complete registration pixel, however you're setting up your funnel there, then you're typically seeing conversion rates anywhere into the lead magnet, I'm talking about anywhere from 50%. Sometimes it's lower at like 10%. That's maybe not as exciting an industry, for example, but you should see conversion rates to the lead magnet, to the free thing, of at least 20%. So that means you're looking at how many people hit that landing page, how many link clicks did you get from the ad, and then how many conversions did you get on the back end. And if you're not seeing that, maybe it could be a couple things. Maybe you're not reaching the right audience. Maybe there's a mismatch in the, you know, ad and the landing page, or maybe it's just, you know, your landing page needs a little bit of work. So, you know, there's things that you can troubleshoot when you're not seeing some of these numbers and they're not working out the way you think you're expecting them to.
And have you seen those numbers go down over time? Like, because that's...
No, with Facebook ads, I'm actually seeing some of the numbers go up. And I think that Facebook is getting much better in the last, like, last 4 or 5 months. Okay. I've seen huge improvements with a lot of my clients who I've been running ads for them for years. And we are now getting lower costs than I've seen in a long time. And I am so excited about Facebook ads. So I'm telling people right now, if you felt like you got burned in 2021, 2022, now is the time to return back to Facebook advertising, because it's really been amazing, some of the results I'm seeing. So I'm so excited about it.
Well, that's exciting to hear. We're starting to do ads for ourselves for the first time. We've never done that before.
And we're nice.
On that over this next month. So we'll.
That's awesome.
Goes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So next up then, what kinds of ads should course owners run at each different stage of their marketing?
Right. So at the top of the funnel, you know, there's a couple of things. Some people think, should I do brand building first? And I'm not a huge brand builder. I think you're going to be building your brand with this lead generation campaign. You can do some video ads. I think it's not a bad idea, especially if you don't have a huge amount of traffic to your website, where you might want to do a video ad that will run around video views, and then you'll be able to do some better retargeting with combining video views and website visitors. So don't spend a lot of time on brand building. I will do things like push out my blog posts, or when I have new content, I'll put a little bit of ad dollars behind that. But the biggest part of your budget should be spent in that lead generation phase. And if you have the lead magnet on your website, you really should use a conversion campaign. It's now called some different things. I think now it's just called lead generation, but you have to be really careful that you're selecting the fact that you're driving the traffic to your website, not an instant pop-up form that happens on Facebook, because you don't want that. You want them to go to your website where you've got your offer, your freebie, all kind of there, and you're using the Facebook pixel to help you do the optimization in that case. So it's conversion campaign, lead generation campaign. That's where the bulk of your budget should be spent. And it should be optimized around that standard event pixel code. If you use lead or if you use complete registration, it doesn't matter which one, as long as you know what that standard is. And it should be optimized around that, so that you're telling Facebook, hey, we want to get more people opted into this funnel. We want to get more leads. And Facebook is doing a great job of optimizing lately and getting you the cheapest leads. So again, I'm super excited about it. But yeah, I wasn't last year. I was like, oh, this is so hard. So it's much better now. So yeah, that's where you're spending the most bulk of your campaign. And then if you do want to spend some ad budget retargeting for the sale, that's a great idea. You just have to have enough traffic to your website if you're going to retarget that traffic. Or again, like I said, you can kind of supplement that audience with like video view audience if you've had some videos running or things like that. So, but you don't have to spend a lot of money on that retargeting campaign for the sale. You really, a lot of people, if they've got small amount of traffic, we're talking, you know, $10 a day is totally fine to spend on the retargeting phase of it.
Nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. So huge majority on the lead generation, don't focus on brand building. You might do video views and then retarget those people back to then the lead generation campaign.
Yeah.
Some retargeting of your existing, when you said retargeting, did you mean your existing overall website traffic, or do you mean people who got to the sales page and didn't buy?
Yeah. So that is a challenge, because here's what happens is that you need typically over 1,000 people to retarget an ad, or it won't run. If you set it up where, hey, they hit the page, but they didn't buy, that might be a pretty small number, unless you've got a lot of organic traffic, or maybe you're spending a lot more on ad dollars, whatever. Or sometimes people are like abandoned cart ads or whatever. They started the checkout process and didn't make the purchase. You've got to have a lot of traffic in order to have those ads actually run. So for most course creators who don't have that traffic, what I'm suggesting is to retarget everyone, retarget your email list, video views, engagement, and website traffic, bundle that all into one bigger retargeting audience, and you can subtract out the people who've already purchased. So in that case, you're retargeting the whole group and minus anyone who's already bought your course.
Got it. Okay, cool. So ads that would be specific for cart abandonment would make sense if you're at $20,000 a month or something like that, maybe. And it doesn't make sense when you're at like $3,000 a month, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And unless you've got a lot of organic traffic that's abandoning cart, whatever, you know? Okay. So yes, exactly.
Got it. Okay. And when people are setting this up, what kind of KPIs should they be tracking on the way through?
Yeah, really, it's about baselining for yourself. There's so many people who are like, what's a good price, or what's a good click-through rate, or, you know, all kinds of these little KPIs that you might be tracking. But really, it's about baselining it for yourself and making these improvements. There's so many variables that go into this, including conversion rates on your lead magnet, on your sales page, price points of your product, all of that stuff comes into play. So that's why I like to really start slow, prove the concept that we're getting those conversions into your lead magnet, we're getting those sales on the back end, everything's tracking right, Facebook starts learning better, things like that. So what I like to say for sure is track things like the click-through rate on your ad, because that is, and again, that can vary, but typically you want that over 1%. And I'm talking about link click-through rate, not just any click on your ad. Link click-through rate should be over 1%. If it's not, that means your ad maybe isn't that interesting to people. Now, that being said, some industries, some businesses have a lower click-through rate. Maybe you're B2B and you're reaching kind of a narrow market. Maybe your topic isn't as sexy as another type of topic. So again, baseline these numbers for yourself, but that's a good place to start. Lead costs can depend a little bit on what, again, the industry, what your typical conversion rate is on your landing page for that lead magnet. So I'm seeing lead costs. Right now, I'm running lead magnet for a client of mine. We're getting 50 cent to 75 cent leads. I mean, that's like, that is so low. That is really, really low there and very difficult to do. She's got a really interesting topic that's a hot button for a lot of people. And she's got her marketing really dialed in and her landing page really dialed in. So that's very low. Usually for ebooks, for quick downloadables, I'm seeing lead magnet prices anywhere from $2 is a decent lead magnet cost, all the way up to $10 if it's a little bit more difficult industry, maybe you're newer. Sometimes it takes the pixel a little bit of time to learn. If you've got like a webinar or video series, usually the lead cost goes up in that case. So that, you know, that's a little more commitment from the audience. Or maybe you're like, if you've got something where you're asking for a lot of information, like you are going to do some follow-up phone call or something like that. I don't know. I don't know if anyone in your course creators does that kind of thing, but like the more information you ask for, the lower or the higher cost the lead in that case.
Got it. And where would you suggest tracking these numbers? Because a lot of those are in Facebook Ads Manager. Would you suggest also having a spreadsheet where you're tracking like week to week what the numbers are?
Yeah, I don't have a spreadsheet myself because you can find that all in Ads Manager. You can, you know, and the important thing is making sure that you're labeling your titling, your ad sets and ads properly. So it's really clear in your reporting which audience you're testing, what image you're testing, so that you can see that and you can break that down. So usually for me, I'm just using the Ads Manager to keep all that data for me. And then I'm narrowing it down like, okay, what did this week look like? You can even use the compare option in the Facebook Ads Manager to see how your general costs are comparing. Like you could say, let's compare the cost this week to last week. What are the trends? Facebook has all kinds of little great reports in there. So you can kind of visualize the trends if you want to do that. There are other reporting tools that you can get that, you know, kind of maybe show you pie charts and stuff like that if you like prefer pie charts, I guess. But I just usually use the ads manager and set up the columns correctly so that I'm really looking at the right columns. And you can even set up the columns to kind of show the waterfall effect that your funnel will have. So you can track everything from what is the cost per 1,000 impressions, the CPM at the front end, you know, what is then the link click-through rate? What is then the cost per link click? What is then the lead cost, then the cost per sale? So you can kind of track the waterfall through the funnel so that you can make the best decisions. Because sometimes what's happening is you get great lead costs, but those people aren't actually buying anything. Whereas another audience might be a lot higher lead costs, but they're better buyers. So you want to track that end number to make sure you're making those right decisions on which audiences to run.
Nice. And what do you see as the most common mistakes that people are making with Facebook ads?
Yeah, the biggest mistake, so many mistakes. That's why I exist. That's why I exist. I'm here to help people create better ads. Biggest mistake is just only using the boosted posts, you know, only posting something on your Facebook page and then boosting it. And, you know, there's a lot you can do with the boosted posts and it still will track things, but oftentimes they're not optimized correctly. You don't get all the settings that you do in the Ads Manager. So it's really better to go into the Ads Manager and get a little bit more specific with some of those settings so that you're, you know, optimizing correctly. You're really focusing on the best placements, the right optimizations with that. And you get a little bit more flexibility in the Ads Manager. It is a little more difficult. I do get that, but it's better if you to get better results. So that's number one. Number two is not testing enough. So many people aren't testing enough audiences. They're not testing enough images. They're only trying like two things. And those two images might look really similar. You want to test very different images. And actually, one of the things that I'm seeing working really well with images right now is big, bold, all text images. We used to have this way back in the day, back in my day, we had a text rule. You could only do 20% text.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that rule's gone. And now what I'm seeing is big, bold text on your images. Even clients who have a good brand recognition, I'm testing all text ads versus pictures with them on it. And the all text ads are outperforming pictures with them. So test different things, get some really different designs in there, and you'll often see dramatic results. And then mistake number three is really not using the pixel and optimizing correctly. Oftentimes people don't understand how that pixel works. It's just a little bit of code you're putting on your website, and then you put a little extra bit of code on that thank you page so that you're communicating with Facebook when people actually give you their email address and become a true lead. And also making sure you're tracking the sales as well, because, you know, putting that purchase pixel in your cart or wherever, you know, wherever that might be, sometimes It's a little bit of a challenge to set up, but you just have to set it up one time in order for that tracking to then continually work. And sometimes people are optimizing their ad around, like, they're like, oh, we're going to send a lot of traffic to this page. Well, what happens is Facebook isn't optimizing that ad correctly because we're saying, hey, we want a lot of traffic. Well, you'll get a lot of cheap traffic, but they won't be the type of people who actually opt in and become a lead. So you want to have that pixel in there and optimize around the lead instead of just traffic.
And how does someone make the decision of when it's right to go learn how to do this themselves and when they'd be better off hiring somebody? Like, it sounds like you do this for clients yourself. So like coming and hiring someone like you.
Yeah. So there's
like, I don't want to learn, you know, like Who Not How from Dan Sullivan, right? That great book. I've not read it. I've read the title. I think I kind of get the idea, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So I think it comes down to a few things. You want to have your organic traffic working. We were talking beforehand, and you know, if your organic sales, warm sales aren't working, you don't want to spend money on ads. You want to make sure you've got a funnel that's functioning. And it does come down to a little bit of budgeting, right? So there's different options for learning. One is just going out and finding free places to learn. The challenge with that is they are oftentimes out of date. Facebook changes all the time. Some of the strategies change for sure as well. You know, another thing is to maybe join a course. There's courses. I have courses out there. I have workshops.
Tell us about yours.
Is that
something you do as a cohort, or is that like somebody just pays and they get online access?
Yeah, I have an online access course. It's pretty comprehensive and it's a little more pricey, but you get a year of access to it. What I would recommend for people who are wanting to learn and get something launched, I have a profitable ads workshop that I run fairly regularly. And that's like a group coaching session. You get good combination of training, some small group. So you get very individual attention with that. And I think that's really helpful because some people do have individual things that come up with their website. It doesn't look like what's being shown on some of these training videos or maybe what you might read about or whatever. So it's helpful to have someone look at that. And the other option is just one-on-one coaching. So that's really helpful to get really fast start and get that one-on-one knowledge. Hiring someone is great, but I really think everyone should know about Facebook ads and how they really work before they hire someone, because it just, that way you understand how things go. You understand what you might be looking at. You know, I hate to say there's a lot of people who are running ads for clients and maybe not doing it right, but that does happen. So you want to be a little cautious of that and kind of learn from the right people and really understand it yourself so that you at least can ask the right questions if you do hire someone.
Got it. Okay. So few options there. People can get your book. You've got two books.
Yeah.
Facebook Marketing for Dummies and Facebook Ads Made Simple. Which is one better for certain audiences versus the other?
Yeah, for sure. The Facebook Marketing for Dummies is a little outdated. I think the last published date was 2014. I published three editions. It changes so often. It's like 700 pages. It's kind of crazy. And it really is more organic strategies. So my Facebook Ads Made Simple book is a better option for that. And it does kind of go into that conversion campaign that I was talking about and talk more about and, you know, help people understand how that works, get that set up and things like that.
Cool. So, yeah. Okay. So the cheapest option, Facebook Ads Made Simple book, go find it on Amazon or wherever you're going to look. The second one was you've got group coaching. So if you go to andreavahl.com, AndreaVahl.com, we'll link it in the notes. You can search there. I found it on the, just in the menu, there is consulting and coaching section. And then there's also the course as well in the
And then under events is where I've got the workshops. So they're live events. So
got it. So you click the menu, then events, and you've got profitable ads done with you, 6-week workshop. Perfect. All right, cool. So if you think that would be useful, then go check that out. Go have a chat with Andrea. She knows what she's talking about. You also wanted to do a shout out to something else, didn't you?
Just while we're doing chat, just stuff. It's just my new podcast. So it's fun to be interviewed on your podcast. I've got a new podcast called Late Starters Club. It's all about inspiration for people who are starting something later in life. Maybe you're making a career change. Maybe you're launching a course, for example. Maybe I also interview people who are starting things like stand-up comedy or acting or a new competing in athletics or something like that. So it's a lot of fun, super inspiring stories from people. I just interviewed Mark Schaefer, who had never written a blog post or anything until he was 49. Now he has an award-winning blog and 10 books. He just came out with his 10th book. So it's amazing stories.
Nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. So I'm going to put links to all of the things that we've just talked about, the events page and the course and the book, in the show notes. So if you're interested in any of those, just scroll down in your podcast app and you'll click on them and it'll take you through to them. If you want to work with Andrea, it sounds like you probably should go through one of those first. So maybe either get the book or go through the coaching and then contact her about getting her support with actually running ads as well. Sounds like now is an awesome time to be running ads, which is exciting. I have not heard anybody say that in 2 years.
I know. I know. Believe me. I was like, gosh, should I quit? Should I? No, but it's really, the performance has been great. I think Facebook is really doing some much better learning. I think AI machine learning is really helping Facebook's pixel data and things like that. So, you know, it's a good time to jump in. Possibly some advertisers have gotten out in the past, even fourth quarter, I saw things were still not, we didn't get the big bump that we sometimes get in costs. So I'm not sure why that is, but I'll take it.
Yeah, for sure. And if you're thinking, well, what I know I need to do is I need to set up my funnel or parts of my marketing properly first, then best place I'd say to get started would be go check out our webinar about it. Go to datadrivenmarketing.co/webinar. And we've got a webinar that outlines all the steps you should have in place in terms of your funnel, your email marketing, your order bumps, upsells, sales pages, that kind of thing. That'll give you the structure for that. Amazing. Thanks so much for coming on today, Andrea, and sharing your wisdom about this. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, John. Tons of fun.
Lovely. All right, guys, if you found this interview useful and you want to get future episodes, subscribe wherever you listened, and we'll catch you next time.